This week we read the last two chapters of James 4 and 5, and then we read the first three chapters of 1 Peter. Remember, the book of James was written by, one of Jesus' brothers that was not a follower of Jesus until after the crucifixion, and then he became a very strong church leader in the early church. And he wrote to the Christians in Rome. And they were under a lot of persecution. And as you read the chapter, you know, think about what James is writing to them about. And it kind of puts it in perspective if they were under persecution and lots of trials. You're going to have to forgive me for having a drink in the church. Yeah. I'll hold it and I won't spill it, I promise, because if it don't, I'm going to start coughing. But James chapter 4, and I'll be very honest, this week was a tough week getting in the Bible reading. But when I was able to read it and then got caught up on yesterday, it was a good read. It helped, seemed to be something that what I needed. And I have no reason why. I'm coughing now. So anyway, James chapter 4, the first part of the chapter is talking about submitting yourself to God, and that's in verses 1 through 2. And then the last part of it is boasting, not boasting about tomorrow, in verses 13 through 17. So what did you guys pick up from your reading in chapter 4? Anybody? Now I'm making everybody cough. I'm sorry. I got mints. Verse number 7 says, if we don't submit ourselves to God, then we're going to submit ourselves to the world. We're going to do one or the other. So God says, submit yourself to Him. And I know trials and tribulations are going to come around, but if you don't, the world will become your friend, and sometimes bad friends will lead you astray. So it was just talking about it, and then it went on and said, resist the devil and he will flee. Sometimes we resist the devil and he doesn't flee because we don't do the second part of it in verse 8, when it says, then it says, draw to God, draw nigh to God, and he will draw near to you. Satan does not like God, because God knows he created Satan. The devil. So if we're going to make it and try to resist the devil, then we need to draw near to God, and then he will draw near to us. Anybody else in chapter 4? Robert. So you're saying that our phone is our friend? It's amazing how you don't see anybody without a phone. Right there, you know, they're looking at it all the time. They walk, it don't matter where you're at. They're all looking at it. I have two phones too, but yeah, one gets left behind. My work phone gets stuck in. Oh, you called me? I didn't know that. Anybody else? Talking about attachments to the world, TV. You get used to your. You got to see your favorite TV show. You know, if you don't get to see it, you record it, and that way you can go back, and it just seems like that's, if you don't do it, it's not, your life is a mess. Whenever we lived in Houston, there was a commercial that came on, and I don't know if y'all remember if it showed up here or not. It was about going to Jamaica, and this guy goes, "Come back to Jamaica." You know, I told him, I said, "I've got to go to Jamaica. I've never been there, but I've got to go to Jamaica." And he took me there on my 25th, which was nice. But it was like that commercial just, we had to do that. It just, so get an attachment to those things. Anybody else? Chapter 4. Verse 11 says, "Speak no evil of anyone." Do we all have a problem with that? Boy, she was quick to draw on that one. It is so easy to get caught up into that. But God says, don't speak any evil of anyone, even your enemies. And I think what's really bad is church families speak evil of each other. It's like they're ready and willing to see somebody fall, and that's what they want to talk about. It's like, not like that you want to lift them up and pray for them. They talk bad about them. Anybody else? And in verse 13 to the end of it, it talks about not boasting of tomorrow. We just have today. I love these little people that I work with. And one of them especially, she's bipolar. So one day she's up here happy, everything's fine with the world, and the next day the world is coming to an end. Why is she here? And she is so draining. So it's just an up and down. You never know what she's going to be when she comes and sees you. And she talks about, you know, I know I'm going to die. I'm probably just some, you know, I just don't know how I'm going to make it through the night. And I just tell her, I said, "I may not be here tomorrow." "Well, are you sick?" I said, "No. I have no promise of tomorrow. I could die before you do." And you know, it kind of catches her, like, well, and I said, "None of us." I said, "You could live for another 20 years and I could die in a week." You know, it's just that we can't boast of tomorrow. We better do today what we need to get done, because we don't have tomorrow. We just have the right now. And God says that, it says we ought to say, "If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Not that I'm going to do that. If the Lord wills it, I will do it. And then the very last verse of it says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know something that you are supposed to do that is good, God put something on your heart to do, and you don't do it, it says to you, to him it is sin. God wants us, God doesn't speak to us audibly. He speaks to our heart. So, anybody else on chapter 4? Well, we'll go on to chapter 5. Chapter 5 talks about warning to the rich oppressors. Then it in verses 1 through 6, and 7 through 12, it talks about patience in suffering. And then 13 through 20, to the end of the chapter, it talks about prayer of faith. So what did you guys get out of chapter 5? You guys have a quiet day. Quiet bunch of people. I got down verses 1 through 6 where it talks about warning of the rich oppressors. God listens to the cries of the oppressed. He listens to those that are being unjustly accused, and he judges those who practice injustice. Now, we may not see the results of what God does, but God takes care of those who are oppressed. But he's talking about, you know, if you are somebody that's over somebody else, you should not be an oppressor. You should be a loving person that loves the people through God. Anybody else on those verses? Robert. And we all need someone that we can go to. No. Anybody else? In verses 7 through 12, it talks about patience and suffering. And James will give three examples of enduring devotion and commitment, even through their suffering. And the first one was the farmer who planted and waited for the rain in order to produce a crop. I would not be a farmer for nothing in the world, because you depend upon the weather. And it was just saying that, you know, that's an example of devotion and commitment, because they are totally committed, dependent upon what God's going to give them in the way of weather. The second one is it talks about the Old Testament prophets who spoke boldly for God despite their suffering. And that would have been those that spoke out. One I think about is it Jeremiah or Nehemiah? Which one of them was told the people that God's going to judge them, God's going to judge them, and they took him. It's one of the other two, the Mayas. They put him in a cistern, in a well, and he was up to his waist in mud to silence him. People did not want to hear that God was going to judge them. And that's where they left him. Man, you know, that was just some of the devotions and commitment that guy had. And then the third one was Job, who obeyed the Lord despite his tragic sufferings. I don't know any of us that probably could have withstood what all Job went through. Losing your kids, losing everything you have. That when Satan attacks your family, and your possessions and things that you've worked hard for, it's hard. It's hard to go on. But Job did. So James was just telling the people and these Christians in Rome to endure. The other ones did it. You can do it. Endure. And be committed. Don't fall away from the Lord. So anybody else? In chapter 5, before we go on into 1 Peter. Okay. Robert. Good. I always say, you know, the story on Job is that Satan come to the throne of God, and I'm sure he came up to accuse the people, God's people, and God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And I say, "Lord, if Satan ever comes up, do not mention my name, please. That's that other Connie, that other one." Yeah, but yeah. Anybody else? Or let's go to 1 Peter. I wonder who wrote 1 Peter. Huh? I think it was Peter. But anyway, Peter is the author of the book of 1 and 2 Peter. Peter is the one that had the follower of Christ, the one that was very outspoken, sometimes didn't know when to shut his mouth, got himself in trouble quite often. So that kind of tells us that, you know, God loves those that can't keep their mouth shut, you know. But anyway, his letters were to the persecuted believers who represented their afflictions with obedience and stamina. He's writing the book to those persecuted Christians. And he wanted to defeat the growing influence of heresy in the church. Church wasn't very old back when Peter wrote this. and heresy came into the church very quickly. So as you see, as we've come down through the ages, it's a wonder that there are churches still out there preaching the Word of God and not letting heresy in, because it's so easily to do. Because man gets their opinions, their traditions, their things they want to do in the church, and then that becomes, well, that's what God said. It's not. It's what man has said. So we have to be very careful not to let heresy get into the church. The theme of 1 Peter is living as God's chosen people. Do we really live as God's chosen people? You know, most of us, and me included, can get down in the mully grubs and say, well, God must have forgot me. He, you know, I'm not one of God's, His chosen ones. I'm not one of His favorites. But we are, all of us, are God's chosen people. And the theme and throughout the First Peter is, number one, God's people are holy. Do you believe you guys are holy? If you're God's part of God's family, you are holy. Number two, God's people witness. Do you witness? Do you tell others about Jesus? And number three, and you all probably know this one, God's people suffer. We suffer. It's kind of sad when you lead somebody to the Lord and, you know, you say, now you're a child of God, you're going to heaven, but get ready, because you're going to go through some suffering, you know. They say, why didn't you tell me before I did that? You know, but no. Anyway, 1 Peter chapter 1. First part of the chapter talks about he's praising God for a living hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. And then the last part of the chapter is to be holy. So what did you guys get out of chapter 1 in 1 Peter? Miss Brenda. Right. Anybody else? Verse 7 says, the trial of your faith. Everybody's faith is going to go under trial. That's the way your faith grows. If you want to stay a child, a young child in Christ, a babe in Christ, then don't try your faith. God won't try your faith, or you won't let your faith grow because you fail through those trials. But we are going to go through trials, and as you go through trials, you realize God's going to took care of you. He saw you through, and so your faith grows. So the next time you go through a trial, you have your thoughts back to what you were doing, to the last one, and say, well, God made me help me through it. So your faith grows again, and God's going to take care of it. So your faith just continues to grow as you go through the different trials in your life. It's a tough process. You know, as we see our kids grow up and we have to let them fail at things. And then we see how they grow. And then as we as parents teach them, that's kind of like God up there saying, looking at us, and it looks like we're
like a little toddler trying to walk. And God says, let them fall. Just let them fall because they have to do it. They have to crawl before they walk and walk before they can run. So, anybody else? Uh-huh. That's right. There's an end to this. Thank goodness. You thought you could live forever on this earth, in this body? How many of us would commit suicide? You know? Anybody else? Robert. Yeah. Anybody else feel that way? If a trial would have come to you 6 months prior, could you have faced it like you're facing it now because you've grown? God knows what you can do. Robert was saying that some things, he lost his mom, and it was really tough on him. Lost his dad a couple of years ago, and it was a whole lot easier. And it wasn't because he loved them any different. It was because he knew God was going to take care of him, and his faith had grown. That's just how we grow, and God takes care of us. Anybody else on chapter 1? The last verse in verse 25, I don't know if that's the last verse, says that the word of the Lord endures forever. We're going to be singing that song this morning. I thought that was kind of unique this week. But his word has endured through the ages, and it's going to endure forever. So let's go on to 2 Peter, because we're running out of time. Second Peter chapter 2, the first part of it talks about the living stone and a chosen people. And then the second part of the chapter talks about submission to rulers and masters. Did anybody look up, what is a living stone? Did you ask yourself that question? The first part of it, it says, I think it's verse 5. It says, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. God calls us a living stone. Brenda. Further on, Jesus, in the verses, it says Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. So he calls himself the chief cornerstone, and we are the living stone. I love that. Anybody else in chapter 2? The verse 9, I always love that verse. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are a chosen generation. Every generation is a chosen generation, because if we don't do what God wants us to do, we're going to lose that generation. But we're a royal priesthood. We are part of the priesthood, bringing forth the word of God. We're a peculiar people. Has anybody ever called you peculiar? Now, that person's kind of peculiar, you know, kind of strange. But we are strange people. The world does not understand us at all. But we are to show forth praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has taken us out of the darkness of this world when we become a Christian and brought us into his light. It says, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. We are the children of God. We need to remember that. When Satan tries to defeat us, tries to get us down, tries to make us not want to do anything what God wants us to do, we need to remember that we are his chosen people, his chosen generation. Anybody else in chapter 2? The last part of the chapter talks about how we are to submit ourselves to the rulers and masters of this world. If you are a servant, and most of us are servants to our jobs, we are slaves, still have slavery going on in America, because we are slaves to our work, but God says, if you are a servant, then you are to respect those over you. You may not like what you have to do, but you're to respect them and to give your rulers and masters, if you work 40 hours a week, you give them 40 hours a week. In fact, God probably says give them 40 plus one if you want to be a good worker, and all. But you say, man, I can't even get a break from God. God tells us we have to work. If you're going to work, you better work. Be thankful. I'm very thankful every second Friday of the month that I get a paycheck. I'm very thankful for my job. So, go on to chapter 3. As we're running out of time, The first part of the chapter talks about wives and husbands. And then the last part of it is suffering for doing good. It just keeps digging us women, doesn't it? What about this B movement? You know, doesn't God know it's my time? It's always been my time, hasn't it? Yeah. I agree. So there's a plan. God has planned. It's God, man, woman, children, dogs, and cats. Cats are way down here because I'm not a real cat lover. Yeah, it's way down there. No. But anyway, and each one of us have a job to do. And yeah, anybody else in chapter 3? Miss Sandra. Back in Bible times, the harlots and the ladies of the evening would plait their hair and wear gold, and it kind of separated those from the not so bad women. So God was just telling us that's what happened back then. That's how they separated them, you know. I think today we should not look like women of the evening, you know. We should be respectful of ourselves and dress properly. Anything I think that we do that would make us look like the world, God is saying, don't do it. Because that just tells the world there's no difference between me and you. So, does that answer that for you, Miss Sandra? What am I going to call this? Customs. Or that's the things of, you know, back when I was a kid, the custom was girls didn't wear pants. I didn't wear pants at all. The first time I wore a pair of pants was when I graduated from high school. I just didn't do it. And then it's become very popular that you never wore pants to church. Well, or jeans. Men could. We're thankful you got one. But no. And it seems like, you know, the customs or whatever of my grand, you know, women used to not cut their hair. Even people that wasn't part of the Pentecostal or whatever, women just didn't cut their hair. Now you have all sorts of styles, but I think there is a difference between some styles and others, you know. But I think we just should try to look. God says this, we're part of the world, we're in this world, but we're not part of this world. We need to keep our us looking a little different from what the world is. And it seems like, you know, the world takes a step and we take a step. You know, that's just what seems like the progression of it. But I'm sure God's going up there going, oh my goodness. What a generation, you know. But anyway, good conversation. We will be reading 4, 5, and then 2 Peter 1:1-3. So we'll get out of 1 and 2 Peter for next week. Anyway, anybody else have anything to say? All right. Mr. Craig, will you dismiss us in prayer?